Hey guys, Adam and I are going to be in Nashville on May 23rd for the Courage Under Fire Gala. This is an evening of encouragement and inspiration. In a world that challenges our values, this is the event that's going to bring together top leaders in education, faith, media, and culture to stand boldly for the truth. High-impact speakers include Kirk Cameron, Matt Walsh, Michael Knowles, Harrison Butker, and Father Mike Schmidt will be sharing powerful stories and insights on overcoming fear and how to make a lasting impact. You will leave empowered to stand firm in your beliefs and embrace your calling with courage. This is more than an event. It's a movement to transform our culture and bring light into the darkness. Visit CourageUnderFireGala.org. That's CourageUnderFireGala.org to buy tickets now. Proceeds from the event go towards supporting the Regina Chaley Academy, which is a classic homeschool hybrid that prioritizes traditional values and supporting families in educating their children. Once again, CourageUnderFireGala.org. Make sure to use promo code IGNITE100 for $100 off general admission tickets. See you there. This last Sunday, I went into one of my favorite places in the small town Oklahoma that we go to, the Country Mart,
the grocery store of Coweta, America.
Yes, the Country Mart, which I just love. It's more expensive. I don't care.
Is it much more expensive? I still have never been there.
Oh, you haven't?
Mm-mm.
I love going,
but I drive by it a lot, and every time I think, that grocery store has to be amazing.
It is. It's fantastic.
It has to be like the best. Like
everybody talks to everybody.
So right. That's exactly what I've always known it was.
There's no self-checkout.
You know, right?
And
do they have bag boys?
They have bag boys.
What?
The bag boy like walked the stuff out to
my
car.
They bring it to your car?
Yeah.
Like back in the day?
Right. So I show up there.
Bro, that's worth, like especially, okay, if you're one of our wives who's trying to show up to a place with like a car full of kids.
Well, now they have just the park and they'll bring it out to your car.
Yeah, but sometimes you didn't have time to do that ahead of time, you know, and you're showing up and like, hey, it's a day. It's one of the days, okay? And the fact that they'll bring it out to your car with
I love it.
A truckload of kids, like that is a service. It's worth.
Reminds me when we went to home. We always just go to Homeland in Henrietta, Oklahoma.
Homeland, bro.
Yeah, with my grandpa. Anyway, so I show up there in a suit. Just got out of mass. You know, kids and wife are in the car.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, I got to run in real quick, get a few things, and we'll run out. So I go in with the suit on. Guy's walking out and he goes, "Hello, preacher." And I was like, I thought he was talking to somebody, but like I didn't realize he was talking to me. And so I just kind of missed the interaction. And so I kept walking in. And then afterwards I realized like, I think he was talking to me. That's weird. Anyway, so like I went to one area with a little deli and asked for something. And the guy next to me goes, he said, so where are you preaching at?
Different guy?
Different guy. And I'm like,
right here, brother.
Have
a seat.
Yeah. And so we start talking, and I was like, I don't preach. And
just making disciples of all nations.
That's right. And so we talked about, a little bit about Catholic faith. So anyway, so I'm checking out. The checkout person, she goes, oh, did you just get done preaching for the day? And then the bad guy goes, where do you preach at?
Are you serious?
And I'm like, are you kidding me? Four people ask me where I...
You've got nice hair. That's what it is. You've got preacher's hair.
And I realized...
Because, preachers... being a preacher is like being a politician. Like, ugly guys don't do it. They don't get hired. It's just like being a politician.
I walked into my van and I told Haley, I said, like, it is a good thing that we were Catholic, because if we were Protestant, I'd be the mayor and the preacher of this whole town.
I just about got a discount.
Yeah.
Just about got a Jesus discount.
But it was so funny. Like,
four people thought that I was a preacher in this little small town because I was wearing
a suit. That's when you pull the Father Sean Donovan line and you'd be like, yeah, I'm non-denominational Catholic. No kidding. What's that mean? It's pretty incredible.
Yes. It's the first.
Yeah. I have to actually justify what non-denominational. So the word, you know this. Denomination is a Latin. It means de nomine. It means other name. So a denomination, Catholic is not a denomination because it's not another name. Denominations were other types of Christians who didn't go by the name. We're not de nomine. We're nomine. Okay? So you might, it's a double negative. The term non-denominational is a double negative. We're not another name. So it's like, non-denominational is like, really what that means is Catholic. The non-denominational Christians don't know that. But one time I was with Father Donovan at this barbecue place, and the real hipster waiter we had, he told him he was non-denominational Catholic. And the guy was like, no way. That's incredible. And it was hilarious.
Well, so next week I'm going to go back with a new suit on, and I'm going to, when I get asked, I'm going to be like, I preached on John 6, mm-hmm. John chapter 6, the Eucharistic discourse. Yeah.
And Matthew 16, verse 18.
And John 20,
23. That's right. Really beautiful text.
Really, I tied it all together mm-hmm. at the very end. Anyway. Yeah, so I thought that was absolutely hilarious. I've never been mistaken for a preacher before.
That is so funny, yeah. And it all happened at the same...
On one day.
I mean, it also... I dig it because it's clearly a Christian organization.
Right, it's like everybody in there...
The kinds of people they have hired are the kind of people who would...
I mean, even recognize that.
It was really a very gracious thing to say, to just assume, like, you must be a preacher. You know, like, that's actually a very kind gesture.
Sure.
You know, so that's cool. I like it.
Yeah, I thought it was...
The Country Mart.
Yes.
In Coweta, America.
That's right.
The last story I'm going to tell about Coweta. It was back in the day. My parents were the first natural family planning teachers in the state of Oklahoma. One of my family's claims to fame, all right? And so if you know, this is the couple-to-couple league, the symptothermal. So, you know, you have to chart all the methods involved charting. And one of the things you keep track of on your chart is your coitus record, right? Because that could be an important thing to, like, hey, you know, we pregnant. Well, you got to keep track of that. So they're doing this class, and, you know, they would typically have like three or four couples. And at one point they, you know, said, does anyone have any questions? And this real country gentleman, he's like, yeah, what is coitus? And like, at first they didn't know what he meant. And then they realized, like, coitus, okay? It's not coitus. It's pronounced differently. And so the joke developed about like, hey, like about going to coita. That became like this NFP joke. Anyway, my in-laws and my parents, they worked together teaching this natural family. Like, so my current in-laws were they used to be the like promoters for the class. They would like make sure there were snacks and stuff. So they would work together on this. You know, at the time I was just a young kid. So when my in-laws eventually they moved to Coweta, it's kind of like you hear Dan and Julianne, they moved to Coweta. They live there now, mm-hmm. you know.
He's the mayor. So anyway, I thought it was a really fun experience for me.
It sounds really great. I have had this question, and I want to ask you. This is a totally, totally different topic.
Okay, yeah, let's
switch. Totally switching.
I'm done with that topic.
So, you know, we are currently sede vacante.
Yes.
I'm going to ask this. I think this is a very difficult question.
Oh, man, okay.
So I'm going to hear what you have to say.
I have a lot of things to say.
The conditions for receiving a plenary indulgence, one of them involves praying for the Pope. Can you receive a plenary indulgence when the church is in a state of sede vacante?
Yes.
Even though there's no Pope to pray for. This is a condition. It is like in the, it's clearly stated. So what is your, I haven't looked this up. This is just something
either.
I've been,
I haven't either.
I have been wondering about, I've been letting myself wonder nice. About this particular question. And I think it's nice. A very good one.
Yeah, it is.
Because if you're required to pray for the Pope.
Yeah. Yeah, but prayer is outside of time. There's no really reason to say that, like, just because my prayer, just because there's not a Pope currently doesn't mean that I'm not praying for the next Pope. Mm-hmm. Or the person who will be seated as a Pope.
Yeah, okay. I think that's a good caveat
or,
to make.
Or that, you know, my prayer
I do think, though, like,
is for that, you know, if the time and place.
If a month ago.
Right.
If I was, you know, I'm going to pray for the Pope as one of the conditions to receive this indulgence. And I said, I'm not going to pray for the current Pope. I'm going to pray for a previous Pope. I don't know that that actually satisfies, I think that doesn't satisfy the spirit of the law.
I don't think so either.
Would you agree with
I
that?
I think so, yeah.
So, you know, I do think that we can rule out that, like, well, there's no Pope, so I'm just going to pray for one of the last ones. I don't know, you actually might... You might be able to satisfy. This is something I don't know that we actually have an answer to. Maybe there are. I haven't, like I said, I haven't looked into it. But you might be able to pray for the repose of the soul of our most recent Pope.
Yes.
Maybe that would satisfy it. There also, the intentions of the Pope, Pope Francis, were published ahead of time. You know, like he still has an intention for this month. So you could still pray for those intentions. You know, that intention that he had listed ahead of time. You know, anyway. Just some things to ponder.
Yeah, but my thought process there is because prayer can be outside of linear time.
Yeah,
that seems to be okay. I mean, because and also God doesn't use any prayer. Oh, there's no wasted prayer with God, right? So if you pray for the soul of somebody who's in hell, that prayer's not going to do any good for that person,
right? Or if they're in heaven, won't do them any good.
Any good. But. God's not going to, like, it's not like, oh, it's an all or nothing kind of mentality.
My Catholic sensibilities tell me that praying for the repose of the soul of the recently deceased Pope or for the Pope who will be elected seem to both satisfy the spirit of the law. But
that's a good question, though.
I'm absolutely willing to be corrected by someone who knows better than I.
All the canon lawyers out there?
Yeah.
They'd probably know. Or at least have a better sense.
Yeah.
Hunch.
Yes. I would expect them to have a better grasp on the law.
Do you have any of do you have any gut takes on who's gonna be the next Pope?
Nope.
Me either. You know Polymarket does though.
What?
Polymarket does.
Okay, I don't know that. You can tell me about it though. Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And you want when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So, for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan. I want to make a correction, or a clarification, rather. In the last episode we recorded,
one of the last episodes, depending on which one is released at what time.
Who knows? That's sort of a mystery to everybody. We were talking about who could become Pope, and you had said anybody, and
I didn't say anybody.
Any baptized Catholic man. Yeah. When I said anybody, that's what I meant. And I'm trying to clarify this, Adam. I'm trying to add clarity here. And I said, I'm not sure. I think maybe that's not true. Actually, it is true. Any Catholic man can be
voted in.
Pope David gets installed day one. What are you doing?
The very first thing I would do is confer and set a date for Blessed Carlo Acutis's canonization. That was supposed to happen on Divine Mercy Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Let's assume that's already been taken care of.
Okay, well, you asked me. I mean, it won't have been taken care of. The first pope needs to do that. Or they need to, or they don't have to. You know, like, because he's not been canonized yet.
Right.
That has not taken place, so the next pope might not do it. I don't know.
I'm sure he will.
But. I actually expect that within the first few days of the next papacy,
yeah,
that will happen. True. That there will be a date, and it will happen very soon.
Yeah,
because he's already there in Assisi. His body is incorrupt, and like
speaking of which, we're going to Assisi.
Yes, we'll be in Assisi in October, and we'll be there, and we'll see him alongside of Saint Francis, who is incorrupt, and alongside of Saint Clare, who's incorrupt. Assisi is an incredible. We'll actually be spending 2 days in Assisi. Assisi is like often people will often say it's their favorite stop in Italy. I'm really excited about. Most people don't get to. Well, I don't know about most people. A lot of people make it as a day trip, which is wonderful. But when you get to stay there, it's extra nice. So we'll be doing that. So I do think that the next pope. That will be high on the agenda. I don't know. What about you? What would you do?
Oh, without a doubt, suppress the Jesuits. No, just joking.
Are you joking?
I'm just joking. Yes, I'm joking. There's some great Jesuits out there. Yes, of course. Father Mitch Pike was fantastic.
But think
Father
about Robert how Spitzer. Good of a Dominican he'd be.
Be even a better Dominican. I'm just joking. No, I have no idea. I have no idea what I would do.
You're mostly joking about the Jesuits?
No, I'm joking.
100% joking?
I'm joking, yes.
You're not going to put a percentage on it?
There's no reason to. Polymarket didn't have it.
Okay.
Which, by the way, you were asking. Polymarket is...
I wasn't familiar with it.
Yeah, it's like a predicting
the
market.
Vegas, it's
like
the Vegas odds.
For predictions, you can... You can actually bet on who the next pope is right now.
Oh, yeah, totally. You can bet on anything.
Yes. Yeah.
Incredible. Ridiculous things. I mean, there are people who are putting money down on things that are, you would say, this is dumb. There are some things you see and you're like, this is how we know people have a problem with this sort of thing. Like, yeah. In fact, it's 100% of the people who are betting on this, all of them.
We need help.
Like,
we need
send, to help them. Send someone to help these people.
Yeah. Hey, so today we're going to talk about time management. We're going to talk about time management for Catholic dads. Now, which is really funny because it was just very humorous that I had decided to talk about this topic. Preparing for it, I felt like, okay, this is good. I think this will be helpful. And like the day that we're coming to record this episode, my day was just crazy. And full of there's a lot of disorder happening around, just like not things that normally happen, and me trying to play catch up and trying to figure out like, wait, why is this over here? What is this doing over here? Why are the kids over here? You know, I was finally I got the kids down to bed and I was like, okay, gotta get over to Dave's house and drive up. I was going to put the chickens up for the night and then head out. And as I'm driving over to put the chickens up, I look over and one of my cows is in a different spot. It was not where it was supposed to be. It was in a wrong pasture. And I'm like, what? What is going on there? So I'm like, okay. So I run over there and I open the gate very slowly, you know.
Don't spook them.
Don't spook them. And go grab food and bucket and shake it. And hey, cattle. That's my,
yeah,
my
call. Yeah, you got to have a call.
But
yeah.
What is your call?
I say, hey, cows.
Okay. I say, hey, cattle. That's what I say.
Cows! Get over here!
My next set of cows, I'm going to do something way funnier. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what it'll be. Anyway.
Just to like a,
Yeah. But anyway, so I finally get it back. Anyway, there was a lot of just chaos today in time management which is what we'll be talking about this evening.
If we have time. I don't know if we'll get through it all.
We'll try to. So the first thing I wanted to like think about when it comes to time management is just like time itself and our like thought process of what time is in modern in the modern era. Time is something that we can't get back, right? It's something that is a gift to us.
Right.
It's not something we can buy more of. Mm-hmm. It's not something we can earn more of. It is a complete Correct. Gift. And so this gift is not an enemy.
Mm-hmm. And you can't save it.
You can't hold on to it.
You can't build it up.
Yeah, right.
Right. It's a lot like grace that it's available in this moment only.
In the
right?
moment.
Right. You can't save grace. You can't use it later. Time is the same way.
Right. And so it's not an enemy. And I don't know about you, but there's been many of times in my life where I have said things like, you know what, dude, I just got to get past this point in my life so I can move on to the next thing. Mm-hmm. Like, so I can keep my head above water here so I can get to that next thing.
Sure. Yeah.
It's like, but really, you know, the old thing is like, once you get married, it's like, it's just a life full of, we just got to get past this next weekend. Right. Over and over again until you die.
Mm-hmm.
And I just think that that's, while I think it's funny and at times and maybe a okay expression, I don't think it expresses, and I think it does disservice to the gift that we're received, that we've been given, I guess, which is that, is time.
Yeah, those moments, yeah.
And that time that we have.
Every single moment is a gift from God, like you're saying, is an opportunity to become holy.
And to fulfill your vocation at
right,
that moment.
Right, which is how you become holy. Yeah, exactly. That's how you do it.
But okay, so that's a great point. I think a lot of times it's very easy to think that busyness equals holiness instead of like faithfulness equals is holiness.
Right.
Right, because I think we can get into the heresy of earning grace, of, you know, or earning God's love, or mm-hmm. if I just do this next thing, God, you know, maybe God will allow this other thing to happen, or if I'm going to do this thing, we kind of talked about this in that compunction episode, right? Is that once you get out of confession, you're like, okay, Lord, I'm just going to do all these things for you. I'm so sorry, for all those sins. I'm just going to make up for it by doing all these things instead of just like stopping, pausing and saying like, Lord, what do you want me to do?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Right. And so like, there's so many times in my life, at least, where I feel like in order for me to be a good Catholic, in order for me to be a good husband, in order for me to be a good father, I have to do this thing and this thing and this thing and this thing. And like, and then once I accomplish all those things and once I, you know, have dominion over all of these tasks, then the halo will be given to me. Then yeah. I will be beatified. You know, like, then holiness really kicks in.
And a lot of times, like, in those moments of busyness or, you know, like, enduring, I just got to get past this weekend. Sometimes that, like, objectively is true. You know, there is maybe something this weekend that's going to be difficult for you. And, yeah, you're not going to enjoy it. And you do kind of need to get past it, but there's a key distinction, a subtle distinction between, you know, the saint and someone who's not quite at sainthood, and it is just a resignation to the divine providence, right? That you might joyfully resign yourself, you know, because it's clearly God's will for you to do whatever it is that you just need to get past.
Mm-hmm.
And so just remembering to do that,
which is not easy.
It's an interior disposition that might not look any different on the outside.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what makes one person holy and the person next to them just pushing through.
This is the holy detachment, right?
Yeah.
I mean, isn't that what?
And yeah, it's divine abandonment to divine providence.
Right.
Same. I mean, you know, when you get into like some of these holy concepts, a lot of overlap.
Yes.
The Venn diagrams, you know, with the overlapping, a lot of overlapping sections.
Mm-hmm. And maybe this is just our human nature, right? Where as humans, we want to, it's very hard for us to do it like John 15, where, you know, you lay down your life for the other. Greatest, you know, no greater love is this than to lay down your life for the other. You know, this understanding of the Thomistic idea of love, of willing the good for the other's sake, not for anything that you could gain from this. Because a lot of times in your pride or ego or desire to be loved yourself, you want the best for the other so that it's reciprocated, so that, okay, good, now they're going to do that for me back. My dad did that for me, so I'm going to do this and maybe I'll get it back. But that's just not how God works. You know, that's just not how divine love works. And so it's very hard to wrap your mind around that busyness does not equal holiness. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I apologize to all of our listeners out there who have been wondering, like, hey, are you guys having a scotch tonight? Yes, we are. The answer is yes. I know that's a shock.
What a shocker
to most of you. It's from Scotch Malt Whiskey Society, and which is still not supporting our show. Which is a tragedy.
Rude.
This is a Glen Scotia. It's called Smokehouse on the Beach. It's an 8-year. Delicious.
From the Campbelltown region of Scotland.
That's right. Sea breeze on the shore at low tide carries a fruity sweetness and a sweet hit of briny and ashy savoriness, a coastal surf and turf.
I think it's fantastic. It definitely has a coastal flavor to it. You know, like if you took all the smoke and peat out of an Islay Scotch, but you still had that briny, it's got that, which I like. But it also, it's sort of like if an Islay and a Highland were, you know, it's kind a blend. Of. It's a blend between those, kind of. It's fantastic.
It's really good. That's what we're sipping on this evening. We're talking about time management. We're specifically for Catholic dads, right? So this is the idea that I wanted to talk about tonight, because I've been thinking a lot about time management myself and how to navigate and work through work life, family life, prayer life, and managing all those things. So before the break, we were talking about how that business does not equal holiness. That the father wound is real in this life. That sometimes, as a child, we grow up and think, oh, I have to earn my father's love if I, you know, score well on this test, or if I make varsity here, or if I, you know, go to the military here, or follow in his footsteps in work, you know, then I'll make him proud, and then he will truly love me, which is, you know, hopefully false. There's this is the problem with father wound, right? When we orient our experiences with humans with God, it always falls short.
Right. Yeah. There's only one perfect father.
Right.
And he's not on this planet.
And hopefully someday, the goal is
in heaven. You
right.
know what I mean?
And the goal in this life, right, is like on your deathbed, whenever you have your family around you and you're dying, you know, the idea of your child walking up to you and saying, like, thank you, Dad, for giving me a glimpse of our father's love.
Yeah.
That's satisfactory. I mean, that's what I'd be like, okay, I did it. You know, if I right. can just give them a glimpse of our father's love.
But it's not something that you can put off till tomorrow.
No. I think that glimpse maybe given, like, the word doesn't do its justice, because in order to give a glimpse of an infinite is
right.
very difficult.
The things I'm thinking about are, I'm doing some self-reflection here. You know, I want to plan a fishing trip with my boy. But I just need to get through this weekend first.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Just to tie,
so guilty.
Just to tie it back in. Right, exactly. So I am looking at myself.
Yeah, so we should manage our time not to do more, but to live better.
And I'm not saying that you ought to just abandon your plans for this weekend.
Of course
not. You know, to go fishing. I mean, maybe you ought to. I don't know. But you know, you just need to strive for order, and you can't delay. You can't put these things off.
That's right. And because ultimately, time belongs to God, right? It's not something that's like, it's a gift that he gives us. It belongs to him. He can do whatever he wants with it.
Correct.
Do whatever he wants with it, right? And it reminded me of I think it was St. Louis de Montfort, which his feast day was just recently.
Yeah, it's my consecration day today.
Oh, yeah. Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's fantastic.
Very excited.
On the way to school today, I was talking to the kids about St. Louis de Montfort. We pray the rosary, as we always do going to school, but I was talking to them about St. Louis de Montfort.
Yeah. I mean, like the rosary we pray, like the version, like the way we pray the rosary today is mostly because of him.
He's fantastic, yeah. So anyway, so I was thinking about Mary's fiat, Mary's yes.
Uh-huh.
So like, if you think about her yes, it's like this total availability to God's will. Like this whole, be it done to me according to thy word. You know, thy will be done. And Mary didn't like divide her time between God's time and her time. And neither should we. It's more of, I live for our Lord. What he wants of me, I will react. And I will abide.
Mm-hmm. It reminds me of, and I've talked about this before, the concept of stewardship. I think stewardship is one of the concepts that rounds everything out, that makes, sometimes it's difficult to, I'm just like, all right, if you have nice things,
mm-hmm.
or if you know, it's like, how does that fit into the whole, to a holy life? You know, or if your station in life is one of influence or wealth or whatever, you fill in the blank, stewardship is the concept that orients that back towards the service of God. That everything that we receive, and this in time is one of the most important gifts that we have to do this, is this gift that we are called to not give 10% of. Stewardship is giving 100% of everything back to God.
Mm-hmm.
That this idea, everything is his. He has given it to me so that I might care for it and make a return back to him. And that's his gift to me, that I might... He gives this to me that I might be able to give something back to him. It's a similar interplay as what you see in the Trinity, that God gives love to the Son, and the Son gives that love back to the Father. And that interplay of love between them is the Holy Spirit, right? So he calls us into this, you know, as he draws us into his life. Stewardship is the way that we really participate in that, and giving 100% of that time to him. This is your vocation. How has he called you to respond with that time in the spirit of stewardship? You know, I think about stewardship, the absolute greatest, well, for most people, the highest level of stewardship is your children. That he has, like, your children, they're your children, but even more so, they're his children. And he's going to want them back. Right? That he has given them to you. You are the steward of these souls. These souls, they belong to him. Right? And he's given them to you so that you might form them and bring them back to him. Right? And, you know, so the way we use our time, stewardship is this all-encompassing.
Mm-hmm.
It helps us really, I think, orient our focus in a very clear way. Once we just kind of adopt that attitude and put on those lenses of recognizing that everything that's given to me, whether it's great or small, is given to me so that I might make a return to him, whether it's 10 talents or one talent, okay? I need to use this in the service of building the kingdom.
Yeah, and I was going to talk about this later, but I think this is a good time to do it is to act promptly and orderly, right? Is that like once you when you are a steward of your time, you realize like, hey, this is a gift from God. God has given it to me. I want to give it back to him. And you have a prayer life to where you can say, okay, this is his will. I'm going to go carry it out. Right? This is like what our Blessed Mother did, right? As soon as she knew the Lord wanted her to go to visit Elizabeth, she acted in haste.
I love that line that she went in haste.
It's like, listen, like, I have nothing else I have to do, but I have to do this.
Like her love and ardor for the Lord was that she couldn't delay when she was, you know, she was told to do this. She waited not a second. I mean, to go is as in soon haste. As it was prudent for her to get there, she went with all the ardor she could muster.
Right.
I just always thought that's beautiful. And that's the way she cares for us and like seeks to bring us.
Which is beautiful, right?
To her son.
Thy will be done. You know, the Annunciation happens, and then what happens right after that? Like after she's pregnant with our Lord, she goes and cares for the other.
Right.
In haste.
Mm-hmm.
And so I find that beautiful. I'm reading a book right now. It's called The Life of the Mind by a great Jesuit who's passed away recently, but Father James Scholl. In that book, he said, promptness in action flows from good, from love of the good. Promptness in action flows from the love of the good. And this is, I think on the way, like as we were walking up here to record, it was like, you know, when you have passion, it's because it's a desire to love, you know, it's an understanding of love and wanting to act upon it.
It's also a love of the good.
Right.
Passion is. The kind of passion that you're talking about here.
Right.
Not as like an external action working
upon you. Yeah. Yeah. But I think sometimes we can get so sterile, or not sterile, so paralyzed maybe, in not knowing what to do that we do nothing, at all. We
totally.
Have no haste. Mm-hmm. We have no action. And we use discernment as a way to make an excuse for non-action.
Mm-hmm.
You know, St. Joan said, act and God will act. And so, in that
great line,
that's an assumption, right? That you have a prayer life, that you're living a sacramental life, that you are striving for the good, that you have formed your appetite. You know, there's things that you're doing.
But don't wait for those things to act. You know, you act now to the capacity that you can. You should have a prayer life. You should have all those things.
Right.
But act and he will act. Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. David Niles here with Adam Minahan. Nobody knows where Jim is. Jim is a mystery.
Is he even real? Is the yummy scale real?
I can answer some of those questions. He's real. The Jimbo Baggins. He's a real guy. But he is mysterious.
Yes. So we're talking about time management, specifically for Catholic dads. So we were talking about like being able, like prompt and acting orderly, like quickly. The thing is like once you realize what the Lord's will is for your life, the orderly thing to do is to act promptly, which is what our Blessed Mother did, right? In haste, she went to go see St. Elizabeth.
Yes.
So I want to talk about also like guarding and structuring our time in our day, which I think is something that I'm constantly trying to fine tune, work through, get better at. Because really, when it comes to time management, it's what you're saying no to,
right?
More than what you're saying yes to.
There's a lot of things to say yes to. I mean, the discernment, real discernment is never about good versus bad. That's just a moral, understanding morality, right? And those are easy choices.
It's more like the greater good, right?
Discernment,
the good versus the greater good.
Right. Discernment isn't like fighting temptation. Okay. That's something else. Discernment is always choosing between two goods, and that's a far more difficult, at least intellectual exercise. You know, and it takes yeah, a lot of prudence, and you know, don't want to waste too much time doing it.
Yeah. So, and the reason why you say no to certain things is so you can say yes to greater things, right?
Yes.
And so the intellectual and your spiritual growth have to be protected, not only for yourself, but you as a Catholic dad have to protect the time for spiritual growth for your wife and for your children.
Yeah.
This is something that I think is very important as I'm growing and my children are growing and some of my children are getting older into the, you know, getting into the teenage years, which is weird to say.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause remember we started the show and our oldest were like little bitty.
Yeah. I had two kids at the time.
Right.
They're like toddlers.
Did you even have Mary yet?
Yeah.
She's 9?
She will be soon.
Then no.
Okay, then no.
Yeah.
I don't know, dude.
Yeah, that was it.
Don't ask me dumb questions like that.
Yeah, sorry.
What am I in the hot seat here?
So, Sarty Lange, our good friend.
He called me the other day. He says hi.
Okay, good. Thanks. Yeah, so he wrote the book, The Intellectual Life. Highly recommend. It's one of the most influential books in my lifetime that I've read.
I told him that you really liked it.
He said, a few hours, rightly used, are enough for a great life. This is what I love.
Did he mean like every day or just like,
no, like
at all?
Like, well, I mean, I think
he's just had a few
from a weekly perspective.
Okay.
You know, as you're ordering your week, that a few hours, rightly ordered, you know, are enough for a great life. And this is what I love, because he has this deep understanding of guarding and protecting his intellectual life and his spiritual life, knowing that these two things, while they're separate, but they're intertwined, because the more you know God, the more you can love God. You can't love that which you don't know. So the more that you know something, the more you can love something. And the more that you love something, the more you can serve that something, namely truth, which we know that truth is a capital T, namely a person, our Lord Jesus Christ. So the more that you love...
He called me the other day.
Then no.
By the way.
Yeah, in confession.
He says hi.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Good. So the more that you know him, the more you can love him, and the more you can serve him, right?
Right.
And he has this deep understanding that it is important to guard both of those times as a human being to flourish.
Sure.
And then he also mentions as well the importance of guarding it as those who you have authority over.
Let me ask you a question about this. Since, you know, we're talking about this from the perspective of a Catholic dad. You know, I feel like one of your things is, you know, having order and routines. Like you're big for routines with your family. I am too. Yeah. But it's just one of the things that, you know, you talk about.
I try to. Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to ask you.
I routinely try to. Yeah.
Very good. How do you balance a routine with flexibility? Because, you know, one of the crutches of a routine is when the routine becomes the idol that, you know, you start to worship. How do you find balance?
Spanking. Okay. Yeah. I think
just that. Lots of just... indiscriminate spanking.
No. I think that's a great question, because
your routine can go bad when the goal is the routine for the routine's sake. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I think that that's a good question. I also think that part of that question is routine can become so habitual that it doesn't mean as much, right? And I find that to be less of an argument. I think that's a poor argument. It's like, I don't say I love you less to my wife because I want it to mean more.
I agree with that.
I think that's a poor argument.
Mm-hmm.
I think it doesn't hold its weight. I think the more dangerous argument is what you brought up, is that routine for routine's sake and not out of love, right? The reason why we're doing this routine is out of love,
mm-hmm.
and self-sacrifice.
Right.
It's not because the routine itself is a means to an end and not the end itself. And so there are times in our family where we typically pray Compline every night. That's our family prayer at the end of the evening. there are sometimes where it is not fitting for us to pray Compline.
Right. It's just whatever. We're going to straight to bed.
We will pray an Our Father, Hail Mary, and Glory Be. And
there are times where we do that in the car on the way home.
And it's like,
and say, it's when we say, we're going to say our prayers now. When we get home, you brush your teeth and go to bed.
Yeah. In fact, tonight, before I head over here, I gave Luke the responsibility of
spanking everyone,
leading,
else.
Leading the boys in prayer.
Uh-huh.
This evening,
I have found that the older our family gets, the more we have the opportunity, the more flexibility becomes an option. You know, because there are just some times where, whether, I don't know if it's you're at someone's house or whatever, you know, just out of charity, you kind of have a social obligation, you know, to whatever it is that evening. And that requires you to stay out later than what your routine would dictate. But it's just as my kids have gotten older, those routines, we still have routines. I mean, definitely. But we have that option. That flexibility becomes less of a disorder because those habits are more there, right? You know, whereas when our kids were younger, when you miss, if you miss like 2 days of that routine, it started to just create more chaos, you know, mm-hmm. in the home.
Yeah, I think you got to be careful there because it's a slippery slope for the other side. But I do agree that you have a little bit more flexibility once the habit has been formed.
Yes.
Once the habit has been formed, then if you deviate from that habit, it's easy to get back on the rails, so to speak, and carry on with that habit. But the hardest part is forming that habit, which is why
it takes a long time.
To me, it's one of the easier ways giving your child a prayer life is starting them out so early, to the point where it's like, I don't know, is this like, they're not getting it. Like, should we just keep doing this? Yes, you should keep doing it. Because it is ordering them to habitually, look to the Father.
Right. And you're building natural skills, natural habits. You have to build those natural habits of prayer before the supernatural habits can really take root anyway. Right.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah. So I also want to talk about something else that Father James Scholl said in his book, Life of Mind, which I thought was really interesting. He said, we do not really believe what we do not live.
So true.
We do not really believe what we do not live. And so he kind of hinted at this. This is my spin on it, but he kind of hinted at, like, what does my calendar say about my soul? When he talks about, like, hey, if you're not preparing for week to week, like what you're supposed to be doing, what you know, what your goal is, what you're oriented towards, like what you're striving for, like, what does that say about you? What does that say about your calendar? What does your calendar say about your soul? And so this is why, for me at least, at 3 p.m., I have an alarm that goes off every day to remind me that our Lord died for us at that moment. Divine mercy hour, right? And it's not because it's this great thing. It's very easy. It takes like 3 seconds for me to just orient myself back towards our Lord.
Right, just a mental ascent.
Right.
Even.
That's exactly right. That's why I have to put on our calendar like the weekend in which I want to take my family to confession.
Right.
Every month. Otherwise, it could be 6, 7, 8 weeks before it's like, oh, yeah, I didn't
do that. Easily.
Yeah, right.
And it just like, before you even know it, you realize, oh, man, I think it's been like 2 or 3 months, you right. know.
But the things that are important to us that we do not want to forget, we put on our calendar.
Yeah.
And so how do we do that? How do we shape that for the intellectual life and for the spiritual life?
Mm-hmm.
And so for me, I have to wake up a little earlier than what I really want to in order for me to have that prayer time and to have that intellectual time to be able to read.
Kind of another way of what you're saying is, instead of, is it on your calendar, what are the things you do all the time? You know, regularly, whether it's weekly or monthly.
Yeah.
You know?
So, maybe I'll give a few more tips on time management for Catholic dads, because we've kind of been talking theoretical a little bit more than practical. on the show. Thank you for the Catholic radio stations that carry the Catholic Man Show. We'll continue this on the podcast or on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus.
So one thing I think that St. Alphonsus Liguori has a fantastic thought process in. He has a book called, and I think it was a book in his time. I don't know if it was sermons or what it was, but there's a book out there called The 12 Steps of Holiness by St. Alphonsus Liguori. And his idea is that you focus on one virtue a month. And I thought, like, man, how easy would that be as a family to say, hey, no, this month we're going to forgive. With it being April, being Divine Mercy Sunday, like Easter, we're going to work on mercy. We're going to only, like, we are going to go above and beyond to forgive each other. And so, like, when the kids are fighting, it's like, nope, hey, we are working on forgiveness. Like, and so we're articulating that. The language in our home is ordered towards mercy, is ordered towards forgiveness. To build these habits of virtue. And then each month, you have a different virtue that you focus on.
So is that something you're talking about or something you're actually doing? Are you like actually as a family, mercy is...
You know, I mean, this is something
this
that...
This is just a concept you're saying.
Yeah, this is a concept that I've like been wrestling with to try to...
I wasn't sure if you meant that like this is currently something you've already put into practice.
No, this is something that I've been like trying to work out to put into practice for
it's
my family.
In the concept stage.
Yeah, because I want to make sure that I do it prudently.
I totally hear that.
But
you don't want to just like jump into, hey, new rules,
magnanimity all the time,
right?
Month of May, magnanimity, you know?
Right. Yeah. Yes. As the dad, you really have to discern.
Although that's a great catchphrase.
Yeah. Magnanimous month of May. But you do need to discern whether or not this is a real practice that will fit for your family, whatever it is that you're doing.
And you have to do it in real prudence and look at yourself and say, like, is this because this is an annoyance to me? Or is this something that my family really needs?
Oh, well, I'll tell you, we have several rules that are because of the first.
Right.
No chanting at the table.
Oh, no chanting at
the
table.
That is a rule in our house because I can't stand it. It's definitely a rule. You can ask all my kids, are you allowed to chant at the table? No. There's no chanting at the table. Look, if you're outside, I don't care. Go chant your little heart out. It's not Gregorian chant that we're talking about. It's like...
Can you give me an example?
It's like, you know, we love pizza. We love pizza.
Okay.
We love pizza.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
you know,
yeah. Like, I do not like that either.
Yeah.
That is...
totally against the rules.
That is against the rules for
at
us
at the table.
Well. Yeah, yeah.
And actually, like, just even...
When you said chant, I thought you were talking about, oh, your daughters are chanting beautiful Gregorian.
Like, no, no.
Okay. I'm glad
it's
I asked for an example.
Like a chant that they...
Over and over again.
And it's like, actually, like, I might, even if you're just inside and you're near me and you're one of my children, I'm going to be like, nope, nope, nope.
Cannot do that.
No, we're not doing that right now.
Right. Or ever.
Right. Go outside. I'll allow them to chant their hearts out, whatever they're... catchphrases for that moment outside. I can be merciful. I'm a very merciful guy. But yeah, we have rules. We got rules that are just like, no, dad doesn't like that. And you know what? It's my house. You set the rules when you're my age. Set all your own rules. Every dad has said that throughout the entire history of humanity.
That's right.
And I would hate to deprive you of this very essential experience as a child.
Abraham had a tough time with his rules.
Right.
Isaac's like, what are we doing, Dad? My rules. Listen, it's just my rules.
Because I decided, okay? Yeah. But really, you don't want to do something. You know, I've talked about the great silence a lot. It's been just such a wonderful thing for our family. But what you wouldn't want to do is say, hey, guys, there's this new rule. We have this, you know, as a family, great silence. Without the stick with itness to see it through, right? And if you're just like all the time coming up with new rules, stuff like that, and it's obviously that none of them will work because your kids, they will learn, dad comes up with these ideas, he's not serious about them, we're not really going to even try.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah. So anyway, like I think that these, the idea of like, okay, 12 steps, you know, who else has a great book out? Cause it's called Well-Ordered Family by, TAM Publishing. It's by, O'Connor, Tim O'Connor, or, dadgummit. Well-Ordered Family is the name of the book.
He's the guy with 16 kids.
Yeah. The guy with 16 kids. He has a fantastic idea on developing yearly, like, goals for the family, mm-hmm. monthly goals for the family, weekly goals for the family, and having, you know, family meetings about them to make sure that, hey, are we achieving our goals? Where are we at with this? All, you know, all this stuff. I think you can run a risk in becoming too business-like for your family, which I think is a disorder.
Yeah, you'd have to implement it well. You'd have to, you know, run those ideas. You know, family meetings, they can go bad.
Right.
If, you know, once again, if it's routine for routine's sake, if we're meeting for the sake of the meeting,
right,
it's and it then it will, well, also, it will embitter the whole family against the idea that's supposed to be helping them.
So this is something I've been thinking about. It's not a super well formed thought, which is,
let's share it, let's just on share a podcast it. With yeah. everybody.
I think that it's not healthy for us to talk about business culture and unite it as like within family culture. So like saying like, hey, as a business, like, hey, we're family, we're, you know, we're family oriented as far as in the business mind, like, hey, we're all family here together. We're all, I don't think that's healthy because we're a business. It's right. Utilitarian. Uh-huh. Like, listen, if I was fired tomorrow, like I can't fire my family.
Correct.
I can be fired from this job. And if I get fired from this job, you know what? I'm never talking to any of these people again.
Well,
odds are.
Yeah, but it's not this. It's not a family.
It's not a family.
Your dog is not a kid, is not a child.
Right. So I think also,
it's just not family.
The other way is I think that there's a hesitation in my mind. Like there's spider senses here that a hesitancy of making family business oriented, so to speak, because we're not, the family unit is not utilitarian insofar as it's not like, hey, we are only asking things from you so that we can get things from you.
Yeah, I think there's a distinction here to make though.
Yeah, go ahead.
I totally agree with the first one about business is not a family. But in this case, we're talking about taking business principles and applying them to the family, right? So it's not necessarily like that this is business in the family. These are like, especially what he talks about in his Well-Ordered Family, this book, he's bringing these principles that he learned in the business world, which are essentially tools for how to accomplish a goal.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it's not like we're,
but this
like,
is not a critique on his book. Yeah. This is just a...
But just that whole concept that you're talking about like, oh, should we be bringing business into the family? Well, if we're talking about sterilizing the relationships of the family, then obviously that's bad,
right?
Right. We can have none of that. That's a full stop. But you know, if you're talking about, hey, there's these things that we've learned about how to accomplish goals very effectively in the business environment, and how can we, you know, we have goals as a family we want to accomplish, you know, then I think that that works as long as you keep that distinction in mind that, you know, the goal is not, you know, the goal you're trying to achieve isn't actually even the goal. Charity is always the goal of
right,
the family.
Right, so it's ordered in love. So this is the difference,
yes, and
right?
That is an important distinction to you have to keep.
Yeah, because every member of the family has a duty to serve the other members of the family, right? This is something that John Paul explicitly talked about, that every member of the family
with
has a duty.
Disinterested service.
That's what the Catechism talks about, yeah.
He probably wrote that part, I think.
Yeah, it wouldn't surprise me. So there's a distinction there that I think I'm glad you brought that up because there's a distinction between utilitarian purposes to achieve a goal and like, hey, we're desiring this goal for the good of the other. Again, right. It's not
to become more of a family.
Right. So again, it comes back to kind of like what we were talking about earlier. It's like, hey, I'm not desiring this to see what I can get back out of this, but for the good of you.
Mm-hmm. I want to bring up a conversation that you and I had with Dr. Carla Broussard. Gosh, this is like, I think just before Lent, maybe it's just before Exodus 90 began this last year.
Okay.
We were talking about time
and like the philosophical concept of time.
Mm-hmm.
And it was one of those conversations that like blew my mind about the way we understand distance and time, right? And you know, he asked me how would you define time? And it was very difficult for me to do without using the word time. It's like, well, the passage of time, and I don't remember exactly the way he defined it, but it was something like, you know, the rate of change.
The measurement of change.
Yeah, the measurement of change, okay? And so throughout our conversation tonight, I've been thinking about that and just like, you know, this idea of time as a gift, and if time is the rate and the measure of things changing, and we have a say in what that change looks like, right? That we have agency in that time, and we shape it.
Mm-hmm.
Because we are the ones who decide what those changes are.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that we have just this, because of our stewardship, that we need to be living a life that is ordering those incremental changes. Okay, it's a fool's errand to go out and say like, I'm going to be a saint. Like I'm going to become like Saint Francis today. Okay, that's a great aspiration, but if you haven't been living the life that Saint Francis was living, it's just not going to happen. Okay, you can't go into a gym and just like start bench pressing 500 pounds.
Dude, I cannot believe I did not get drafted again this year for the NFL draft.
Like, you're talking about, like, I'm taller than you.
I'm getting very close.
My wingspan's longer.
I'm getting very close to passing my peak years.
So close.
So close. I mean, you know, Tom Brady won some Super Bowls past 40. So I'm getting very close.
You should, to start winning a Super Bowl.
Yes. So,
yeah.
I feel next year is going to be the year for me. Even if it's the Browns.
Dare.
You know what? The Browns drafted Deion Sanders' son. They can draft me.
Dare we hope.
Don't bring Balthazar in this.
I'm just trying to say that, you know.
Listen, I'm trying to have a serious conversation.
Right.
And you're bringing Balthazar into this?
I can tell you are. Just, we're making these incremental changes. We just need to be sure that we're ordering those changes. Like, obviously, we were striving for sainthood. We want it. We do. We should want it now. But I think there's a realization of where we are in life, and we just need to every moment. In our last episode, we were talking about dividing up your life as you're like, oh, I'm going to do penance, or I'm going to live a sacrificial life in order to amend like these primary faults in my life. And the Jesuit from the book Solid Virtue is saying, don't try to make this commitment over the rest of your life. Only make it for the first half of the day tomorrow. Because that's all you, I mean, it's like, just bring it to the now. Mm-hmm. Who cares about next year?
Mm-hmm.
You can worry about that when next year comes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so as we're like going about making these incremental changes right now, because that's actually what time even is.
Right.
Incremental change.
Yeah. So anyway, I think like, hopefully, this helps somebody who thinks like, you know, hey, I'm doing a lot of things. Hopefully, you know, that means I'm holy. Like, business does not mean holiness. If I'm looking to try to order my time better, it's like, well, look at your calendar. What does that show? Do you even block off time for your spiritual needs and for your intellectual needs? Maybe you can't. I don't know. Like, I don't know what your life is like, but you should orient, like, if you have to go to bed earlier so that way you can get up earlier. If you have to, eat faster during lunch so that way you can spend 5 minutes to pray, 5 minutes to read, whatever it is. We have to make sacrifices of goods for greater goods. That's it.
Oh, I dig. I hope everyone had time to
think about that.
To listen to this whole episode.
They didn't.
I don't know. I bet some people did.
Maybe. I love you, Haley.
like to dedicate this episode to my wife, Pamela.